Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 6, let's read verse 6, and then skip to verse 10 and 11. And I apologize for my voice. I'm all congested. Actually, last week I just about completely lost my voice. It was rasping and sounded terrible. But I hope that you bear with me as I preach this lesson. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's verse 6. Let's go to verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And our text for today, he came into his own, and his own received him not. And if you've been following, I've got 7 points on this one verse, and today we're on point 6. And this point is summed up by saying that Jesus was crucified by the leaders of Israel, but God meant it for good. And an immediate result of that is that the message of salvation, instead of being limited to the Jews, the gospel was preached to the whole world. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us today. Certainly my voice, please help my voice. But sir, we would see Jesus. And I say that so often, and it's so true for me. This is why I'm on the radio, that people would come to know the Lord Jesus and to become disciples of him and follow the Lord with their whole heart. Help us to see Christ. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I started this point last time, and I read a hard passage. But I want to look at another perspective. We looked at Matthew, but I want to take a look at Mark's perspective of how the Jews rejected their Messiah. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus speaking before he was crucified, before the events that this parable talks about, he gave the parable. He was prophesying, telling the Pharisees, Sadducees would have you, exactly what would happen, and also placing them in the plan of God, helping them to understand the chronology of history and prophecy and where they fit into it. Mark chapter 12, verse 1 through 12. And he began to speak unto them by parables. And a certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, or sharecroppers or something, and went into a far country. And again, last time we saw Matthew's version of this parable. But Mark adds more detail, and a pointed detail, a specific detail, which is why I want to go over it again. The vineyard is Israel. The hedge, well, we can go take a look at Job and understand that God puts a hedge around his children. But it says that he did these things, he dug a wine vat. He built a tower, and a tower has to do with fortifications. And he let it out to husbandmen. In other words, God gave the law to Israel through Moses and said, here, live by these laws and go tell someone else, that the nations round about would hear and believe in the one true God. And then it says that the man went into a far country. And that far country's heaven. God came down on that mountain, Mount Sinai, wrote with his finger the Ten Commandments. But God is in heaven. And at the season, it says in verse 2, he sent to the husbandman a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman the fruit of the vineyard. And we understand this. If you have a McDonald's or a Burger King or hardware store or something like that, you have a local franchise. If, in fact, you're the owner of that franchise. Obviously, most people don't have franchises, but we understand the concept. The home office, the corporate office, will do everything that they can to support the local business. But if that manager or that owner of that franchise, if he does well, that's good. Everybody makes money. But if he can't manage it, and nobody goes to his store, and there's no receipts, the corporate will say, you know what? We're pulling the plug. But you understand the concept that corporate comes into town and builds the Burger King or whatever, or however it works, or Chick-fil-A, or you name it, whatever. And they expect revenue from that franchise. God gave from heaven the law, the commandments, the protection of God, any number of things that you want to say, any number of blessings that you can point at from the Old Testament, God gave that to the Jews. And a couple of years passed, or whatever it was, hey, go see how those guys are doing and bring me back some loot, some revenue, what have you. And it says they caught him and they beat him and they sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and at him they threw stones, wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And he sent another, and him they killed, and many others the husbandman or God sent, beating some and killing some. He gave them judges. He gave them kings. He gave them prophets. All through the Old Testament, you can read it. Jeremiah, they threw in a well. Other prophets they killed. Again, this is God from heaven who set up a kingdom and expected the Jews to run it well. But when he saw they were doing wrong, when he saw they were committing sin or falling into idolatry or making leagues with the other nations round about or whatever, he sent them prophet after prophet after prophet or judge or whatever. And sometimes they would listen, and sometimes they would just kill the prophet. And God was tired of it, honestly. It says in verse 6 again here in Mark 12, and having therefore one son, his well-beloved, at last he sent him unto them, saying, surely they're going to respect my son. Surely. But the husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. You know, if we kill the heir, then the inheritance, it's all ours. And they took him, and they killed him, and they cast him out of the vineyard. And that's exactly what they did to God's son. They arrested him, had a mock trial. They had him beaten, and they had him crucified. Oh, and by the way, it was outside the city, because the verse said they cast him out of the vineyard where Christ was crucified, outside of the city. And then Jesus asked the question, what is the Lord of the vineyard supposed to do now? All of this trouble, all these thousands of years, sending, sending, sending. And even God sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16, we know the verse. But the Jewish leadership killed him. What am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to kick those guys out, and I'm going to give the vineyard to others. And currently the Gentiles, the Christians, have the ball. It's our job now to win the lost. It's our job to preach the gospel, make disciples, tell as many people as we can and as many countries as we can, hey, Jesus died for your sins, why don't you follow him and let's all go to heaven? We have the ball. Currently. But not forever, because the Jews will be reinstated. I'm jumping ahead in my sermon, but Paul said that the Jews will be grafted back in. And that'll happen at the end of the Great Tribulation. But my point six here, these things happened. Jesus was crucified by the leaders of Israel, but God meant it for good. God meant all of that for good. And verse 11 here, it was the Lord's doing. It's God's plan that his Son would be crucified. And he says, isn't it marvelous in our eyes? This wonderful, glorious message that Jesus died. The Son of God died on the cross for our sins. They put him in the ground. He rose again. He went to heaven. And one day soon he's coming back. This is marvelous. This is the plan of God. We wouldn't have said, hey, why don't we have God's Son come down here and be killed? We wouldn't have come up with that. No religion on earth says that God had a son who was killed as a sacrifice and as a ransom for us down here. No religion, and I'm using air quotes here as I say the word religion, because the gospel is not a religion. Christianity is not supposed to be a religion. And I've gone over this before, and you can compare religion, pick your religion, Muslim, Shinto, whatever. Allah, first off, doesn't have a son, and second off, he didn't have a son come down here and die for the sins of the world. Our message stands apart. Our message is from heaven, and it's not a religion that men down here came up with. But Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, God's name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense or sacrifices or praise or what have you, or prayer, shall be offered in my name, God says, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, the Gentiles, says the Lord of hosts. This wonderful thing. It wasn't what the Jews understood. It's not what they would have chosen. But this marvelous thing, it says that the stone that the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. The stone that the builders rejected. We understand that Jesus is the rock. And he came from heaven. You can take a look at Daniel chapter 2 if you like. But the stone from heaven was rejected by the builders. This stone has got a crack, or it doesn't look right, or whatever the case. We can't use that in this building. Go ahead and throw it away. But God said that stone from heaven became the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. And God built his church on that stone, Christ. It's a marvelous thing what God did for us. Again, John 3:16. But that stone, Christ, the Messiah, was rejected by the Jews. But we see this throughout Scripture. Joseph, he was rejected. God began to reveal himself to Joseph. That's in Genesis. And his brothers said, no way, you're a braggart, you're whatever. No, we don't want that. We don't have time for your message. And we understand that they threw him in a well or a pit or whatever. And then they sold him for a number of pieces of silver. And he was in prison. And he suffered. But eventually, he became second in command in all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And he saved the Jews. He saved his brothers by storing up provisions during that 7-year famine. King David, the guy that wrote the 23rd Psalm and many others, when Goliath came out against Israel and he taunted them, and all the Israelites, the soldiers, were scared, and King Saul didn't know what to do, it was David that came out with that sling. And it was David that defeated the giant and killed him and took off his head with that stone in the sling. You know, when Samuel came to anoint David to be king, Samuel came to Jesse and said, hey, I'm here to anoint one of your sons, gonna crown him to be king today. So bring him on out. And one by one they came, and God said, no, that ain't the one. No, that ain't the one either. And they all passed before him, and he said, well, you gotta have one more, because neither one of these are the ones that God said. Oh, yeah, well, David, he's over there tending the sheep. I mean, who cares about little David? He was overlooked. He was rejected. Just like Jesus was rejected. Overlooked. But salvation for the whole world and whosoever would believe came from the rejected stone, Jesus Christ. He became the head of the corner, and it is a marvelous thing in our eyes. But Romans chapter 11. Let's look at verse 17 and see what else we can find. Paul says, speaking of the Jews, and if some of the branches are broken off, in other words, the Jews lost their kingdom. And you, if you're a wild olive tree, you were grafted in. You can partake of the fatness. You can have all the blessings of Abraham and whatever, but don't boast against the branches. Because if you boast, you don't bear the root, but the root bears you. And I've talked about this before. We have the ball, us Christians. It's our turn to preach the gospel. It's our turn to tell people about the Lord in heaven. But we can't forget about the Jews. We can't forget where we came from. We can't think that we're all that and we're the only bag of chips in town. You can say in verse 19, the branches were broken off so that us Christians could be grafted in. Well, okay. But because of unbelief and a hard heart, they were broken off. and you stand by faith. You don't have any promises, Gentile. Christian, you didn't receive the Ten Commandments from Moses coming down off that mountain. You didn't have anything in the Old Testament to stand on except faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. But in verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them back in. God is able to graft the Jews back into the kingdom. God is able to restore Israel. And Jesus will be their king. If you ask them, they'll say, no, that's not right. But if they understood the scriptures, they wouldn't have crucified him to begin with. They didn't understand his first coming. They don't understand his second. But God is able to restore them to their rightful place. But it's a rough thing. Zechariah chapter 13. And honestly, you can read the last few chapters of Zechariah. And it talks about the return of Christ and his acceptance by the children of Israel. But Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6. And this is my point 7. God will gather all Israel at the end and restore them to their land and be their God. But Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. And one shall say to him, Jesus, after he comes back, what are these wounds in thine hands? Thomas, well, I'm not going to believe until I stick my finger in his side and see the wounds in his hands. Those wounds, where he was nailed to the tree. What are these wounds in your hands? And then he shall answer, I got those when I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And that's what happened. Jesus is the good shepherd, but he was smitten. He died on Calvary. And the Jews, they're scattered all over the entire world. There isn't hardly a country in the planet where you can't find a Jew. This scripture here has been fulfilled. But this is a hard verse. It says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. But it says, I will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. The way that you purify metal is by heating it. And the great tribulation will be the hottest furnace this world has ever known. But it says, they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Remember we quoted in Matthew, Jesus said, you won't see me again until the end, when you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Again, God restores Israel, or will restore Israel, at the end of the great tribulation, when Jesus comes back to this earth to stay.
Lord, take me back to the old land.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.